Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Fozcast. We are sat in a lovely hotel room in Champneys in Tring, and we are part of the Soccer Aid crew. I am on the World 11 crew, and sitting next to me, we have got Team England, Jack Wilshere. How are you, mate? You okay?
I'm good, mate. How are you?
Yeah, lovely. Thank you. Before we get into the pod, Jack, I just want to say massive shout out to Soccer Aid for hooking this one up. Tickets are still available right now for the game on Sunday. If you can't attend the game, please watch. Donate as much as you possibly can. It's all for a fantastic cause, UNICEF. You know what it is, and hopefully the game will be an absolute banger.
Tickets are going quick as well, so we'll put a link down below and get in quickly.
And if you want to see Jack Wilshere ferreting around the pitch and snapping people
rolling
in
back the ears
like a dirty little rat he is, it's exactly what it's going to be on Sunday night. Jack, first of all, welcome to the Fozcast, mate. I want to start the podcast with your current role, with what you're doing at this moment in time. I'm going to put it out there, right? When I was sort of in the England squad with you, 2014, I could have never seen you doing this. Coach at Arsenal under 18s, but by all accounts, you are absolutely smashing it. How's it going?
Yeah, you know what, mate? It's going well. And funny you said that, because I didn't really see myself doing it. I did my badges, and to be honest with you, I didn't really enjoy it when I done my badges. My first one, anyway, the first two, C and UEFA B.
How long do them badges take to do, by the way? Because I haven't done any of them,
yeah,
by the way.
We get fast-tracked, but it still takes some time. Like, the A takes a year, takes a season. The B, it took a year, but I dragged it out a little bit. It's probably about 4 months.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I didn't really see myself doing it. And, you know, I've said this before, and, like, it's probably some people won't believe me, but when I went back, so I left West Ham in 2020, maybe 21, and I was at a club for 6 months, and I went back to Arsenal just to train. It was COVID. It was mad. You couldn't get in anywhere. Went back to train, like, train with the 23s, coached a little bit with the 18s. That's when I was doing my A. And then trained with the first team in the end as well. And, like, I saw Mikel coaching the way his coaching staff were talking to the players and the way they were doing sessions. And it actually inspired me. And I thought, you know what, like, I could do this. I fancy this. And I finished my A. And then I had a few options to carry on playing. But I just thought it was such a good chance to get back to, you know, my club, be around Mikel, be around Per Mertesacker, who's, like, essentially my boss, and just learn it from there. And even when I made that first step, like, when I went there first few days this season, I wasn't convinced it was for me. And the more I'd done it, the more I got into it, and now I love it. I love it on the grass. I love the coaching. I love, like, trying to work out how to beat an opposition. And, yeah, I'm really enjoying it.
What was it with that Mikel Arteta thing you said there? The way that he spoke to the players, the way that he spoke with his coaching staff and what they did. What was it? Because you played under some monster managers.
Yeah,
do you know
but it
what
was
mean?
Different. It was different, Fozzie. Like, so obviously I played under Arsene for the majority of my career, and I experienced a little bit different with Eddie Howe. I really enjoyed the way he coached. But Arsene was, like, he did coach, but it wasn't like stopping a session. Do you know what I mean? It was you play and then he'll talk to you a little bit after. But, like, Mikel was different. Like, the way he spoke to the players, the way he stopped session, the way he demanded, like, high standards. And, you know, like, even though I was only there for 4 months and I wasn't really part of the team, I was just keeping fit, he made me feel like I was part of it. And, like, I don't know, it was just a special way that the way he works. And I could see as well what he's doing. And this is why when people say to me, oh, this season, you know, you should have won it, Arsenal should have won it, you lost it, you bottled it, whatever. But I don't see it like that, because I can see the work that's being done in the club. And, like, the plan was never to win the league this year.
Yeah.
Of course, when you're in there and you're fighting for it, it does feel like we lost it. But it feels like they're just building, and I was really wanting to be part of that.
Yeah, I ain't having this a bottle job. No chance. Everybody's saying that this season. To beat Man City is ridiculous.
Yeah, they've got two teams.
That's what I mean. They've got two teams. And the average age of that Arsenal team and what they did and what this season, I just think the progression they've made has just been outrageous.
It's unbelievable,
hasn't
it? Isn't
it? Like, absolutely
when you actually
outrageous.
Think of it, so last year, what, we finished fifth. The year before was eighth. But, like, even last season, like, we were close to the Champions League, and the goal this year was obviously to get into the Champions League, and they smashed it. Like, we could have won the league, yeah. Really. Like, we closed the gap to City. Like, I think it was 5 points.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's some achievement.
Like you say, though, Jack, when you're in it, like, get towards the end of the season, you probably think, like, externally, you go, oh, they did have a really, really good chance. Mm. But City just, second half of the season, they just win.
I think they won 12 or 13 games on
the
bounce.
Yeah, it's mad. Yeah.
You can't compete with that.
When you were there training with them, obviously, this isn't Arteta like we know him here and now, i.e. his stock wasn't as high.
Yeah.
Could you see the process?
Yeah.
And could you say this is going to happen?
Yeah, so the way Mikel wants the team to play is very structured and, like, very, he wants a player here, and if a player's here, the next pass has to be here. And obviously that takes time for the players to understand. And a lot of the players as well, their English is not the best as well. So you have to remember sometimes that might take a little bit longer. And I think you see that now, like whenever you think about Arsenal this season, is they probably, well, maybe City at the end, but they probably played the best football consistently throughout the whole season. And I think that was just, it was coming. Mikel just needed time. He obviously got a lot of credit in the bank when he won the FA Cup, got the fans on side. And I think that was a big part of it as well, getting the fans back on side. You know, when I was there my last year, at times it was hard because everyone wanted Arsenal out.
Yeah.
And that was difficult, and it was like a strange atmosphere in the stadium. And obviously Emery came in, failed. Mikel came in and he won the FA Cup. Then they had that little spell. Do you remember when they lost a few games?
Oh, massive start of the season. I remember there was a Norwich game, wasn't there? Yeah. And the Norwich game was the one they were saying, if they don't win this game, if they don't win it, I mean, he's out, he's gone.
Yeah, and then I just think like it's actually a good example for clubs to, like, I look at teams now looking at managers, and I just think, why not go out and get a young manager?
Yeah,
like,
hungry.
Like, look at De Zerbi, Mikel, like, who've got something to prove. They're hungry, and they've got a way of playing that they believe in, and that takes time to get across to the players.
I still think being a good manager, obviously you've got to know your tactical. You have to have that ability. That's a given. But I do think it's down to the character of the manager, and like you say there about Mikel demanding so much from your players and setting the bar so high to start with that even if they do fall a little bit, 10%, 5% below it, it's still at a serious level.
Yeah, Mikel talks about it a lot, and he talks about convincing the players. And that's what it is,
yeah,
right?
You have
to convince the players of a certain way of playing, a certain way of behaving. And then once you've convinced them, you've got them.
Yeah,
and you can see that. The players, they love Mikel and they fight for him.
I want to talk about quickly. I want to talk about your coaching role at the minute in a second. There's one clip I want you to sort of like, if you can verify it for me, actually, is a Mikel Arteta clip. I think it came from the Arsenal documentary, and it's one where he's talking about, I think, the fullback or the midfielder or somebody's got the ball, and they're trying to play it into Bukayo Saka, and he's out on the right hand, right wing,
the line.
And basically he's like, if you play it to him like that, he's stood still. I need you to be on your bike already, arcing your run so you can take the ball in full flow, basically.
Have you seen it work as well?
Is it good? Yeah,
Bukayo does it, like, it's just like
to
every single time. It's only like when the fullback receives it wide and the wing is wide, he just doesn't want that straight pass. It's so simple. But you think about it, when he plays it inside and he's coming in, because he plays inverted as well, so he plays on the right, he's left-footed, he takes his touch on his left foot, he's got the whole piece.
He comes inside on it. This is what I'm saying. Like, this is the time. It doesn't sound like a lot, does it? It doesn't sound like a lot. But if you're a left back or if you're a centre back, even you're a central midfielder, when you've got a player taking it in full flow, he's already behind you and you're thinking, oh,
but isn't
shit.
Isn't this what good coaches do? Because people often talk about players that go to Man City and they take a year. And it's like, no, they don't take a year. It takes Pep a year to get it into them.
Isn't it
a similar type thing? Because you were saying about going and getting a young manager, but also that speaks volumes for like the infrastructure of the club, doesn't it? Like Edu and like Mertesacker and you said people that are involved in the club, because Chelsea went out and got a young manager, and it didn't quite work out, but it felt like a square peg in a round hole.
I think Chelsea went out and got a young everything, to be honest with you, and it didn't work out.
But I think he's right though, the balance, like you have to get the balance right, and that's why you see, like, I think, and I don't know, this is not inside information, but it's like Mikel started and this year he decided, right, now I'm ready for a Zinchenko, who I'm going to change his playing style a little bit, I'm going to roll him into midfield because he's done that at City before, I'm going to get a Jesus. Like, I think now is the next stage of that, and we'll see this summer who they get. But I think next year will be a lot stronger as well.
So I want to talk about your first day as a coach at Arsenal, under 18s. Genuinely, you played in some of the biggest games. You've played European football, played for your country, massive, massive occasions. Are you nervous on that first day?
Mate. So Per is like all the players, we've got like analysis suite where it's like a cinema, right? It's got a big screen at the front and the players are like up there. Walk in there, the players are all in there, the staff are in there, and I have to address them.
Oh no, it's horrible.
And as well, Like, I've never really done that, spoke in front of people, like now and then, but not as like a leader, as
when
someone.
When there's 30, 40 people in the room. Yeah.
Did you practice it at home before?
I practiced it in the office. Like, I've written it down a little bit before, but as soon as I went in, I didn't look at it once. I was just like talking.
That's good, that's good.
Yeah, it was hard. It was hard.
So what's it like now then on the day to day?
It's a skill, isn't it? I think, talking in front of people.
Yeah, for sure, mate. I think that's the thing you're born with. You can learn it for sure. Yeah. And the more you do it, you'll get better. Yeah. But like, if we're, like, we're doing the soccer thing now, yeah, this is my first time. This is your first time, right? If they try and get us to do a song later, yeah,
no chance,
mate. I'm fuming.
I am
honestly, it popped in my head earlier. It popped in my head, and I was started shitting myself.
Now. You've got someone from Soccer Aid here now,
mate. This honestly, I was shitting myself earlier. Just gonna kept thinking, they're not gonna get us to sing, are we? Like, I hope not. I can't do that, mate. I can't stand up in front of a group of people and do that.
I reckon you can, definitely.
No chance, mate. Definitely. It's horrible,
yeah. No, it is. You're right, and like, it was in me, it was definitely in me because I did it, but the more I've done it this season, and it just becomes natural. Like, yeah, you can talk to
the other things as well, Jack, is when you learn from people, like, you'll have picked up, won't you, from Arson, from Eddie, from Mikel. And like, one thing someone told me earlier on in my career, like talking, like, worked in sales and whatever, and they go, is the biggest tip someone ever gave to me is be comfortable with silence. So if you're comfortable with your own silence and you take a minute, everyone else is comfortable.
And
if you're weird, you start being weird about it, then other people.
If you're
weird
about it, you start talking like nonsense,
gibberish. Absolutely gibberish. So what's next then? So what's the sort of the end goal of all this?
I don't know, because what you said before about a manager knowing tactics, and I'm still like in the process of developing my playing style. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, I have an understanding of how I see the game, but every day I'm learning.
Do the club almost demand that you play mirror their style?
Yeah, so a big part of my job this year was trying to be more aligned to the first team style, which is fucking hard, right?
Yeah,
Because they keep lifting the level, we have to keep lifting the level. But I've learned so much, and to be fair, like, I do see football in a similar way to Mikel, like the way he wants possession, have a spare player. But like, this is something I'm learning as well. Like, what's next for me is, I don't know, I need to keep developing my understanding of my playing style, which then you become more comfortable talking in front of people and talking about the game. And then, see where it goes. Like, I hear people go, I want to be a manager, I want to be a first team manager, I want to be a Premier League manager, but you and I know it's not as easy as that. You have to take the right job at the right time. You have to have a little bit of luck. You have to have a good staff with you, good people. And I'm in the process of working out I do want to do that, but I'm in the process of working out, is it possible?
Sort of baby steps, basically. To be fair, mate, I saw you doing a team talk, actually. I saw you in a nice little huddle with the 18s. Mate, you were bossing it. How cool must it be, though, if you're one of these Arsenal under 18s, lads, and you've got Jack Wilshere, somebody that guaranteed, or every one of them will have looked up to anyway, but they've got you trying to pass on knowledge and putting arms around people and stuff like that.
To be fair to them, they've all been brilliant, and that's one thing. Like, you'd have played with players who are the coach's nightmare. I haven't experienced that. I probably need to experience that for my development.
But
they've all been top. Like, and the rewarding thing is when you tell them to do something and you see them trying to do it, it's a good feeling.
Yeah, I like that. Right, come on then, let's take it back a little bit. Yeah, should we go Arsenal back in the day? So you, like I say, how old were you when you made your debut? 16 years old. Do you remember 16. It was against?
Yeah, Blackburn away.
And how did you do? Blackburn away, by the way, is a tough place to go and make your debut. Huh?
We were 4-0 up.
Oh, doddle, mate. Yeah. Absolute breeze.
Adebayor hat-trick. I think I came on for Van Persie, like 10 minutes left. It was beautiful. Man.
Yeah.
It was a beautiful feeling, just floating around. I played off the right. When I first started, I played off the right wing. Imagine that.
Yeah.
I'm just coming in on my left. It was unreal. Do you know what? I look back to that stage, right? And it was really, so I had my first pre-season with the first team that pre-season. And then because of injuries, I was on the bench. Like, and it was just when they changed it. Do you remember before there was only 5 subs on the bench? It was just when they changed it to 7. So I got on the bench.
Yeah, buzzing. All the young lads used to buzz off that.
I was
role,
buzzing,
didn't they?
But
they
then I was fuming. And I look back thinking, why was I fuming?
Like, what, you were just on
play.
The bench?
Yeah, I was wanting to play. I was thinking, I'm ready to play.
You were 16.
But to be fair, you're like not blowing smoke up your ass. Your body type at that moment in time.
Yeah,
You didn't look like a 16-year-old, mate. You had big bum, big legs. Do you know what I mean? Like, it was not at all. Definitely not. It was that low center of gravity, kind of stocky. You could see that you would fit in there easy.
Yeah, I just wanted to play. But no, it was unbelievable coming on. Ewood Park. I can't remember the man. I do remember the manager. What was his name? Bald fella. He was under all kinds of pressure. Their fans were going mad.
Bald fella, Blackburn manager.
Oh,
Keane, is it? I want to say.
Yeah, Steve Keane. Steve Keane.
Yeah, he was under all kinds of pressure.
Like he was like the nicest man in the world, weren't he, Steve Keane? I wonder where Steve Keane is now.
That was the Venky.
Chicken guys and all that. But when you were that age, so you fast forward, obviously, a few years, and you're walking in on day one as a coach, shitting yourself. Mm. When you're 16 and you're going into men's football, not only men's football, but you're going on with Van Persie and the likes. What was the mentality there? Were you shitting yourself there? Or were you like, I want to get on the pitch?
Yeah, because I knew I was good at that.
Yeah.
I knew I was good at football, but I obviously don't know if I'm good at talking in front of people or good at coaching. Yeah, so I wasn't shitting myself at all.
You just went and did it.
I just wanted to play, yeah. And I remember as well, it was quite nice because I had Ramsey. He was a year older than me, but me and him were sort of in a similar boat where we just wanted to play. And then he came on and I came on at the same time, so we sort of had each other.
Yeah, and what was Arsene like with you as a young player?
He was unbelievable. As I said, it wasn't detail. He expected players to be at a certain level. Once you're at that level, it was almost like you were in, and he'd put his arm around you and he'd give you little tips. But he was honestly, like, as a person, mainly for me with him, because we went through so much together, through injuries, through, you know, times when my kids were ill and him talking to him. And he was just like a massive figure in my life.
You had some legends in that team as well. Like, I don't know if you hear, like, even like people like Ray Parler, right? So I'm going to say the Ray Parler story. Ray Parler says it all the time, by the way. Best young player I ever saw coming through. Best young player I ever saw coming through. Jack Wilshere, you could just tell.
He?
Yeah, says it all the time. He's always on Talk Sports about it. And I don't think he's half wrong, to be perfectly honest with you. But he's always buzzing off. You could just tell. And he will say the same thing. You could just tell. He was like a man in a 16-year-old body. You could just tell that he was going to be a monster. Cesc Fabregas, he would say the same thing. You could just tell he was just lovely. He was gliding around and stuff like that. But that's what I mean. You had the mixture of everything. Mm. You had absolute monster legends already at the football club, and then you had some young lads coming through that just next level.
Yeah, that's what I talk about that a lot to my players, because, you know, now with Brexit, we can't bring a Cesc Fabregas in. We can't bring a Fran Morita.
What is that for? Why?
They have to be a certain age to
really?
Get over.
Yeah.
So my youth team was full of, we had a Dutch player, we had Spanish players, we had French players.
Yeah, yeah.
But that done something to the group, right, and to the level, and to me personally, because I knew that I didn't just have to be the best in the country. I had to be arguably the best in Europe. I had to be better than Fran Morita. I had to be at the level assessed, because he was only 4 years older than me. And yeah, that then. So I was always quite aggressive, stocky player.
Bulldog.
Yeah. But then I knew.
I was going to say pit bull, but same thing.
Then I knew I had to be good technically, otherwise you're not going to play for Arsenal, because that was in the days when Arsenal was like total football. You take the ball and you pass it, and you're two touch and you play collective. You're front of goal and someone's there, you have to pass to him. And I just knew I had to be at a certain level.
If we're talking technical, can we just watch this goal and tell me, is it the greatest team goal in Premier League history? You know what goal it is, don't you, Ben?
Well, I do know what goal it is. It's the goal of the season from, I'm going to say...
Got no signal, no internet.
I'm going to say, but let's just talk about it anyway, because everybody knows which goal we're talking about. I'm going to say 2017, 17?
Way before that.
Really?
Yeah.
Norwich?
Yeah.
At home?
Yeah.
Olivier Giroud?
Yeah.
2013.
Shut your mouth, it is not 2013.
It was a long time ago.
Oh my.
Back-to-back goal of the seasons.
Man. Poor John Ruddy in goal as well. I can just
see
him.
Do you know what though? I've told people this, so I'm not embarrassed to say this. It was my right foot, right? I scored.
Yeah.
And the ball's come from that way. So Giroud's played it that way. And I've gone to open up with my right foot and put it in there. And it's come off my heel and he's gone there. And John Ruddy was like,
he didn't know what day it was.
No.
Yeah, so there's something up with that goal, because he is so flat footed and he's like, you didn't mean that.
But at the time as well, like when I think about it, we was all in control of it. But when you look back, it is mad.
Mad.
It's just like
being that was ridiculous.
Look at the Norwich defenders. Next time you watch it, they're
one of them does that.
Yeah. They're all just tying themselves up in knots, going, what on earth? And they're spinning around looking, thinking, eventually one of them, like you say, just has to go, please. Please be offside.
Yeah, someone do something.
Yeah, somebody
but
help
us. The other goal was, because we were chatting just off camera, weren't we? It was at like half volley against Baggies, weren't it?
Yeah.
Second, I thought it was you, but
no, it was
Boaz got that one, didn't he?
It was Boaz Milo. I was injured towards the end of the season and he played in that one. They got absolutely pumped. I remember he rung me after the game and he went, oh, you missed a good one there. They were incredible. I went, yeah, oh, I think I'd just gone on holiday or something like that. And he went, yeah, Jack Wilshere just bullied one past me. He said, I just stood there and went, yeah, well done. Brilliant. Absolutely fantastic.
You weren't relegated though then, were you?
No.
No.
That was like a mode. It was like a dead rubber for us kind of thing. We were already safe. Cigars on.
Berahino was playing for you.
Sido, right? Bloody hell, mate. I wonder where Sido is now. Actually, he was at Sheffield Wednesday. Where?
He's in Cyprus.
Is he?
Is he?
He's in Cyprus.
Oh, he was Chef Wednesday, wasn't he? And then...
He was, but he's definitely in Cyprus now, yeah.
Mm. Getting a bit of sun, eh?
Yeah. Mm. Right, I want to talk about injuries. I think this is the biggest blighter of anybody's, obviously, football career, but yours in particular, because this is what held you back from being one of England's, probably most capped players, in all honesty, wouldn't it have been? Because you got into the team early.
I think I'd have got 100 caps.
Easy 100 caps. Yeah. You'd have got one of those lovely gold ones is what you would have done. Yeah. Talk to me about, because I think a lot of people, right, when they support a football club and they see a player getting injured, they think, oh my God, he's injured again. And I don't think they think about the person behind the injury. Yeah. And having had a lot of injuries myself, it is one of the biggest head fucks in the world, isn't it?
Kills you, doesn't it?
It absolutely kills you. You can't do what you want to do and you're dying to do what you want to do. And not even is it just that injury there and then. Going forward, you just shit yourself, don't you?
Yeah. I think as well, eventually, that's why I finished at 30. And it weren't because I could have carried on.
Yeah.
Because I didn't stop because of injury. But like just going through it so many times.
The rehab.
The rehab and... You know, going in the physio room while everyone else is going out. And listen, I would have carried on, but I just thought in the back of my head, like, imagine. So I went to Denmark for 6 months.
Yeah.
But imagine if I then carried on and I went, I don't know, to Turkey or Cyprus or somewhere. I chased it around Europe a bit. Then you get injured.
Yeah.
Like, and you're away from your
stuck
family.
Stuck out, stuck in a foreign country.
I just thought, like, it's not worth it. And to be honest with you, like, when people ask me now about my injuries and say, oh, like, how are you about them? Like, the honest answer is I don't know, and I don't know when that will ever hit me. Like when you say,
yeah.
You could have got 100 caps or it stopped me being the player I could have been. Like, to be honest with you, I don't ever think like that because I don't think I can because then I think it will affect me. Do you know what I mean?
What was one of the worst injuries you had?
My first injury was my worst and I paid the price a lot for that. It was my right ankle. It was like the talus, which is like basically you've got your fib and then it's like a little bone here that sits on top of your fib and your ankle joint and I fractured that.
Yeah.
And I went to see the specialist surgeon. He was like, well, I've never seen that. We've seen it in one person. It was a snowboarder.
Wow.
Because you imagine their ankles locked in. They can bend it like that. So they got in another guy, specialist, to do surgery. And I didn't know this till a few years later. So I then went back. It must have been about 6 years. I was 19. 6 years later, I was 25. I went back to see the surgeon. And he was like, oh, you're still playing?
Nah.
Yeah. And I was like,
it's normally a career ender.
He
was
like,
done.
He showed me the notes from the surgery. And it was like, yeah, might not play again, might not be able to walk. Yeah.
And you didn't know that?
Didn't know that.
That's maybe a good thing to not know, I think, to be honest.
Yeah.
It was a good thing.
What was it, a pin? Do you have to have a pin put
through? So I put two pins in it, yeah. But then, like, I paid the price. It never moved.
Really,
the same.
Yeah.
So then obviously it affects your knees.
Everything
your hip,
suffers from
back,
there on out.
Yeah.
Did you do, I did a navicular injury in my foot once.
Yeah,
I think you've done the same as well.
You might have been playing that game.
Yeah, maybe, yeah. I remember when I did mine and I remember the physio saying, oh, it's what Jack Wilshere did, like, I don't know, a few weeks or a few months ago or something like that.
Did you have surgery on it?
I had surgery on it to have a pin for it. So the navicular bone it's like one of the weight-bearing bones in your feet, in your foot, sorry, top of your foot, but it's also got a really bad blood supply, like awful blood supply. Mm. So the chances of it actually rehabbing and healing are actually fairly slim. You've got to be super careful with it. So I remember just even mine having a pin through it, but I couldn't put any weight through that foot for 2 months.
Yeah, man.
Like I couldn't even rest it on a table. So it's all plaster casted up and stuff. I couldn't even put it on a table, rest it, because it would be too much pressure going through it. But this is the sort of stuff that people just won't
see.
They don't see you struggling in your daily life with these injuries. And they friggin' hurt.
What happens with the mentality? So when you're sat there, because obviously you've got players every day striving to get better in the gym, on the training ground and stuff, and you're out for 6 months, 8 months, 2 months, does it get into your head and you go, I'm going backwards here and they're going forwards? Do you get paranoid? Do you just focus on rehab?
I think everything goes through your head.
Yeah, it does, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I remember, like, the game is just getting faster and faster all the time. Yeah. And I just remember, I was out once for 19 months.
What was that ankle?
Yeah. So then I started to come back from that ankle, got another stress fracture somewhere else because I went too quick. Then my knee, and I was out for 19 months. I remember just thinking, am I ever going to get back to that level? how long will it take?
Yeah. And you're sort of early-ish, mid-20s here. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, that's what I mean, and right
like,
at the start.
Normally, you, like at that age, stuff heals. Yeah. Like, do you know what I mean? You're almost invincible at that age, aren't you?
Yeah, and like throughout my whole academy journey, I was never injured. I was one of them who'd go straight out and smash balls, even when I was in the youth team. And then it was just like, bang.
Just injured. That's it, done. Yeah. It's horrible, mate. I feel for you because, like I said, I've had three cruciate ligaments myself.
Three cruciate ligaments.
Mate. Two in that, one in that. And it's just the most miserable time, mate. It's just a miserable, miserable time it is. Like you say, you're on a different schedule to everybody else. You might be in the summer when they're all on holiday and stuff. And you just don't feel part of the team either, do you? You don't feel part of the team. No. That's the bit that kills you the most.
And when you, because obviously you went out to Denmark, and when you finished, was it an easy decision for you? Or did you kind of...
Do you know what? It was easier than I ever thought it would be.
Yeah?
Mm. And maybe that was because Per offered me the role at Arsenal, the 18s head coach, and that was available. And I don't know, but it didn't feel like a hard decision for me. And that was like, football's my life. I love football. I'm one of them who will watch any football.
Do you? Yeah.
Yeah. But it didn't feel like a difficult decision. I remember I was on the golf course and I was announcing it later that day, and I was with my dad, and it was actually harder for my dad, I think, than it was for me.
That was blonde Wilshere. You must have been bored out there.
Yeah, I was blonde.
We'll get a picture.
I was watching the podcast and got a bit of motivation.
Yeah, sure.
One of your teams that you did play for as well, West Ham. Just if we can just have a little chat about them, because first of all, how was your time at West Ham?
Not great,
really.
Yeah, but nothing to do with the club or the people. It was injuries again.
Yeah.
Injuries and trying to play catch up and then getting back to a certain level, and then I got a new injury, a hernia, which I thought my ankles were sore, and when I got the hernia I was thinking,
them hernias.
Yeah.
Oh, they're
double
brutal.
Surgery there.
Oh, they're brutal. I've had that as well. Yeah. Horrible. Yeah.
You two should do like an injury podcast.
Where did you have the operation?
In
Germany.
You're talking about Mushrek.
Yeah.
So I went there.
Where's Matt Ogunsanya? Should we just get him in?
Oh, God.
I went there and she weren't there. I had to go to, Qatar.
What, she did it out there?
Yeah.
Mate, she's done so many footballers and the amount she charges as well.
Mate, I walked in the room, you'd have had this, and like she's there. She must be
70, 80. Yeah, she's well old.
She's there on her laptop and she goes, take him off. What? Yeah. So I got down to my pan. She went, no, everything. Yes, yeah, so I'm just stood there, and she comes and she does this finger test, like in your belly, down. She goes, yep, you need surgery. Other one, yep, you need surgery.
Yeah,
and that's that.
She's like the world leader of these.
Yeah,
so
she's unreal.
She got a bit famous like earlier on in her career, probably when Michael Owen apparently got back from having a hernia operation, got back playing within like a week or something. Apparently, there's no chance on this earth you're doing that. By the way, no chance on this earth. And by the way, I've seen it. Like, I got a physio fly over with me to Germany to do it, and he was like still learning and whatever, and he was like, "Can I take a video of you actually operating?" She went, "Yeah, not a problem." What they do is, right, you're obviously fully naked, yeah. They tie a bit of tape around your willy, yeah, and then they tie some more tape, so they've got like a bit to sort of just so they can move your willy about, basically, yeah, mate. But once she's actually opened you up, right, she opens you up to do the hernia. She's like a freaking magician in there, mate. She's one hand and she's just sewing stuff and she's doing this
she's
and that.
Doing what?
Mate, she's a joke. Sewing stuff, all right? It is incredible, to be fair. But they're an horrible injury themselves, aren't they? Because that affects everything else, doesn't it?
Yeah, mate. It was the worst one.
Oh, yeah, I'm with you. It does all your... Oh, everything.
Yeah. Willy tape. West Ham. They've just won the conference league.
So, no, my time was... It was tough because I was, I was halfway into a 3-year contract as well, and then we agreed to cancel it. But I've got great friends there, Deck, Nobes. I'm so happy for them. Cresswell. Who else is still there who I played with? Ogbonna. And these are good people.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Good people as well.
And Nobes especially. Like, you see Nobes and you see West Ham fans, are exactly the same. They live and breathe it. And it's almost like a religion.
It's their life, mate.
And we had some tough times. Moisey came back, saved us. And credit to David Moyes as well, by the way. Like, he gets battered.
He gets
absolutely battered. But for me, like, he has to be up there with one of West Ham's best ever coaches.
Well, they've just won a European Cup for the first time in, what, 40, 50 years? Yeah. 60 years, maybe.
He has to be, doesn't he?
He has to be up there. Yeah. Like, all of them players as well. You look at... So, okay, we can talk about Declan Rice in a minute, but... Declan Rice has to be up there as one of West Ham's best ever players.
I think he's one of three captains to lift a trophy with them.
Billy Bombs, Bobby Moore, isn't it?
Yeah,
something like that. And then you look at the manager, David Moyes, and he made a really good point last night when he was being interviewed, and he said, like, David Manager is a really, really good Premier League manager, right? Yeah, yeah. Over the years, really good Premier League
solid
manager. Yeah. Really good. How many days would a manager like that, a team at the level of West Ham, get in their career?
Oh.
Most of them get none?
Yeah, yeah, hardly anything. Yeah.
And he's been a manager in the Premier League for a very, very, very long time.
Yeah, for sure.
And
yeah,
he's earned that, hasn't he? It was brilliant. He got to share it with his dad, was on the pitch, gave his medal to his dad. Yeah. It was really nice, wasn't it?
You see, but all of them. Dancing, seeing him with Naughty Dancing.
Yeah, yeah. Did you hear him singing the Jared Bowen song?
Yeah, going, how good is it?
Brilliant.
Yeah.
And what about Declan Rice? So
he's top. Honestly, I can't speak highly enough of him because what is he, 23?
Yeah,
24, I think. Yeah,
23, 24. Like, he's carried West Ham, really, isn't he?
Yeah, he has to be fair.
At least for 2 years. Yeah. He's one of the first names on the team sheet for England now. Yeah. And like the way he just carries himself and he gets on with it. And, like, there's not many, let's say he does leave West Ham, he'll leave West Ham as a legend. And there's not many players that could leave a club at 24 when you're just about to almost get into the peak of your years. And the club and the fans respect you.
Wish
that much.
You well.
Yeah, wish
him. Do you know what? I think he's done it the right way.
Yeah,
I think if he could have last couple of years, especially, he could have kicked off in the summertime. He could have kicked off at whenever and caused a fuss. Do you know what I mean? But he's gone, no, do you know what? It's cool. I love this club. It's in my blood anyway. Yeah. But we'll do it properly. And I think everybody has appreciated that. Yeah. So I think they've announced, didn't they?
David Sullivan did today.
That he will be leaving in the summer. But whoever he goes to, whether it is an Arsenal or a Real Madrid, it could be. He could take his pick. To be fair. He could literally take his pick, couldn't he?
They had a what David Sullivan said, he said they had a gentleman's agreement that he could go.
Yeah.
So he's gone. But like you were saying with Mark Noble, Mark's clearly played a big, big part of that under the tutelage of, because we did a podcast with Mark and it just came across so.
Basically, he's like his dad. You know,
the pride he takes in the club and the standards he sets at the club. Like, you know, the stories about him sweeping up the away changing rooms and stuff. And you can see that he just transcends that throughout the club, doesn't he?
Yeah,
and
nice
you can see that Declan's learnt directly from him, which is
What is it great. About Declan Rice on a pitch that you as a midfielder yourself could look at and go, wow.
I actually think he can get even better and do more. Like, he has a specific role at West Ham, which he does unbelievable. Probably him and Casemiro, probably the best at it.
Yeah,
in the league.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think he can add so much more to his game. Like when I was there and training with him, he was the best finisher.
That's
left
ridiculous.
Foot, right foot.
That's ridiculous.
You know, like one of them, like weird. Like I call them modern day footballers. Yeah. Like physically, he's a monster.
Yeah.
Like,
engine as
just
well.
Just don't get tired. Yeah. Just can run engine. And run and run. He's strong. He can beat a player. He can ping a ball off his left foot, right foot. So he can do everything. I would like to see him more of a box to box now.
Yeah,
he
can
do that.
Well, he's got that in the bag all day.
Yeah,
long.
He can do
all
that
day. Like I say, I agree with you. I think he's been playing a more defensive role with West Ham because it's West Ham. That's the way you've got to do it. You can't go marauding everywhere. But I think if he joins one of these big boys, we could see a proper player.
Yeah,
proper.
What do you make? Did you see it last night when he's literally won the cup, walked off the pitch, and the journalist has gone, "Are you leaving then?" Or
fuck it.
That's shit. Who was isn't that? It? I don't know. I actually don't know who it was, but I just saw it and I thought, that's shit.
He answered it well, though, didn't he?
Yeah, no class that. No class.
That
what
poor.
Do you want him to say? Yeah, I'm leaving. Like, come on. Do you know what I mean?
Like, have you ever been there in like the heat of the moment? You see it like with cyclists when they come down off a mountain and someone asks them a stupid question and they go, "Oh, why is he being arsey?" Have you ever had that where you've got you two where you've been in, and someone's asked you
I had
that
it,
one?
You know, I had it after the Youth Cup final. So it was my first. So we had a press conference, my first ever press conference. I'm sat there. And I won't name the name of the reporter. You'll know him. He says to me, "Oh, I'm fuming now. We just lost 5-1 in the final. I'm stood up on the side of the pitch. I've got 7,000 West Ham fans singing. You're getting sacked in the morning. I'm raging." Yeah. Anyway, so I went to the press conference, and he says to me, "I really like the fourth goal." So I sort of like didn't register, and then it did. I went, "What do you mean West Ham's fourth goal?" And he went, "Yeah, it was a really good goal, wasn't it?" I was like,
What
the fuck? Why are you telling me that, mate? Like, I don't know. I don't want to talk about
that. That's his job. Like, his job is to ask these sort of questions make you get like proper answers that you can use in a paper or something.
Should we do a bit of manager chat?
Yeah, quick manager talk. We're gonna quickly talk about Soccer Aid in a second and just talk about who you're looking forward to snapping on.
Let's do that now, because then I want to talk about you guys and your time with England together, because you spent a bit of time with England together, didn't you?
Yes, we did, yeah.
So why don't we talk about who Jack's going to snap on Sunday?
Are you looking for, what are you looking for on Sunday night? Is there anybody in particular?
Anyone you're just gunning for?
You know what, I had a little bit with Goldstein today.
Goldstein's not playing, though, is he?
He's not playing.
Nah, Goldstein's not playing.
Wait, someone told me he might be.
Oh, yeah? Let's get him in.
No. Someone
was it Goldstein?
No. It was the next best person to Goldstein.
Benty?
Maybe.
No chance. Goldstein has got no... But even he's nowhere near famous enough.
He'd play for England. Oh, that'll kill him.
I want to see him play. If he was playing, would that be a nice little joke?
Because obviously you did a lot. England, wouldn't he?
Mate, I'm English and I'm playing for the rest of the world team. You could play for anybody nowadays, it seems.
Who am I? You know what? I've always wanted to play with Scholesy, man.
Yeah.
What a player.
Yeah, it'd be lovely.
I used to watch him with England. And I think we never crossed over. I played against him, but he retired quite early from England.
Yeah,
he
didn't like it. Nah. Yeah. He didn't enjoy it.
Yeah, I'd love to play with him. So I will now.
Oh, yes, you will indeed. Is he your favourite?
What, Lampard, Gerrard?
No, I don't care about that question. We don't do that question. Everyone does that question, all right? If you had to pick...
Yeah, I think so.
If you had to put one player who you would look up to...
If I look at a profile of a midfielder that I'd want, it's like...
Scholesy.
Yeah,
good. I'm glad you said that. Yeah. He's my favourite in the world. One player I need ever.
To... Were you at Arsenal with Cazorla?
Yeah.
He was someone else, weren't he?
I saw he scored a goal the other day in the charity game. You seen it?
No.
He was doing the rounds on that Instagram. He's like this big.
Yeah, tiny.
Really, he was a little bit fat as well. Right. You wouldn't mind me saying it.
Loved the belly, mate.
Loved the beer. And like just when he had the ball at his feet. Like when he first came, right, we had this fitness coach who would like take players and like, you know, you bat a fitness coach saying you don't know football, whatever, blah, blah, blah. He used to do football drills with him and he said to me, Jack, he's the best player I've ever seen.
No.
And I'd be like, what do you know? No. Next day when I trained, and he was just like... He'd go into these areas like with three players around him, and like he's so small, he'd disappear, and he'd just like come out with the ball. And then like we'd do set pieces, and the gaffer would say, "Right, in swing," and he'd just move, do it with his left. I still don't know what foot he is now.
But this player's right. We had Oracle on the other day, so you know, like
the stats people,
and the insights, and they're great in football, the stats. But we always say, don't we? That's only part of it because when we had Joe Hart on, he said about David Silva, wasn't it? He went. Got one foot, he's slow.
Physically, he's awful.
Yeah. And like you put him on the pitch, and I guess it's the same with Santi. You're being like, you know, but you put him on a football pitch and you can't track that, can you?
No, you can't. That's why I agree with the stats thing. Like, it has to be a part of it. Of course, it does now. Yeah. But like the old days where you go and watch a player and go, he's all right, I fancy him.
You can just
take
tell.
A chance on him, wouldn't it?
Yeah, you can
see
it.
They don't really
do
that anymore, do they?
Nah, they don't. It has to be stats and stuff has to be ticked off and all that. It's a load of bollocks. Absolute load of bollocks. Right, come on then, manager talk.
England. So, so you played under Capello.
Was Capello your first England manager?
Was he?
Yeah.
Wow. Baptism fire.
Who was your first?
I'm not talking, I don't talk about Capello anymore. I didn't enjoy Capello, right?
No, I've
seen
it.
It's the way that it goes.
You have spoken about him before.
Yeah, I have.
Multiple times. Yeah.
Who was your first then?
My first ever England manager, Sven Goran Eriksson pulled me into the team, and then it was...
Steve McLaren gave you debut, didn't he?
I was going to say Brian McLaren then. Steve McLaren, Capello, and then Roy Hodgson. Roy Hodgson, obviously, we were out in Brazil with.
Was Roy your last?
Roy was my last, yeah.
So when did you stop playing England?
Pretty much just after that, really. Pretty much after that. When Capello was manager, I had
you
a little
started and
sabbatical.
Stopped, didn't you? You started and stopped, didn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it was fair enough anyway, because he had a lot of good English goalies coming through, young English goalies coming through. So I was buzzing with that anyway. And I don't know what you were like. Sometimes the international breaks for me were just a little bit long.
I know what you mean.
Yeah. A little bit long. Yeah.
Well, you know what? It was all right for Southern boys, if I'm honest.
It was, weren't it? You were around the corner,
weren't
you?
Yeah, I was literally around the corner.
Yeah. Some of the Northern lads, Manchester, any Newcastle, Liverpool, like that.
It's a long way away.
And you're away for 2 weeks at a time and stuff. And it can get a bit monotonous.
The thing is, well, it depends when it is in the season as well, because you think we've got like September is usually a break, isn't it? And you think that's a time where the players that aren't going will get a few days rest and you're going away. And we had a golf day recently with an England player, and you know, the season had finished the day before. They've got a game on the 16th of June.
Yeah, that would be weird for me because I would struggle with that.
Yeah.
I don't think I ever experienced that. I might have had like a few days off and then went away, but imagine having two, three weeks
and starting again.
Some of them like going to Vegas and that, and then you've got to go and train again.
Smashed out of the bed for 2 weeks and then they've got to go and do a bit in that. Quickly, just want to talk about that Brazil World Cup then. How many games did you play in that? Did you play in all of them?
No. I came on.
So it was Italy first.
I came in the first two and then started the last one.
Yeah, Italy first, then Uruguay, obviously lost the first two games, and then third one, Costa Rica.
You played that one?
Yeah, right? I played in that one as well with you, yeah.
It's a weird game, that, wasn't it?
Weird game, mate.
Do you remember?
They won our league, by the way, Costa Rica did.
Yeah, I know. Do you remember Italy, Gary Lewin?
Oh, that's his ankle one, wasn't it? That's the ankle one. Do you remember this?
Gary came on the podcast.
Mate, I was pissing myself at the time.
He said he looked up at Frank Lampard and his face was
I remember Lamps. He was like,
white.
Whoa.
We all jumped up, didn't we?
Yeah.
And there was that little bit
great.
Off the edge.
It was a little bit of a great, and he got his studs caught in there. But I was pissing myself again, you silly twat. Get up. What are you doing, mate? His ankle was all over the shop.
He was hanging out, wasn't it?
He's here this week, isn't he?
Yeah, he's here this week. Good old Gaslow. Good old
Gaslow. You need to do another injury podcast.
Yeah.
I don't really remember much. I do. Like, I remember the hotel.
We changed though, didn't we? Every time we played a game, we'd move to a different city in Brazil. So
we'd always come back to the hotel.
Yeah, we were based on the Copacabana beach in Rio.
Yeah.
And that was the base hotel. And it was all right.
It was all right, but if you looked out the front, if you looked out the back, do you
exactly,
remember?
Yeah, I do. It was a bit,
And did you get on well with Roy?
I did. I got on really well with Roy. And because Gary Neville was with him, wasn't he?
Yeah,
I got on really well with Gary Neville. Like, I don't know if you remember, you might have, just after that, we changed the shape to like a 4-diamond 2, and he wanted me to play as a holder.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
So I played there a few times. I really enjoyed it, and he helped me, Gary Neville. So I did like Roy,
I'm looking forward to snapping Gaz Neville tomorrow on Sunday night.
You can't run out and just snap him.
Yes, he can.
If he comes up for a corner, he's getting snapped, all right?
And he'll have the GoPro as well, won't he? Just make sure you get it on the GoPro.
GoPro, chest cam. I'll look down and say, so I was Gaz. I'm only joking, Gaz. You know I'm only joking. that was world class, mate. Jack, you're an absolute legend, mate. There's still tickets available for Soccer Aid. They are going fast, like we said. So if you want to get yourself some tickets, they're in the top of the link in the description down below.
The link is in the top of the description.
The link
below.
Is in the top of the description.
I think you got it right first time.
Yeah, I think I did.
I think you did.
Anyway, the link is in the top of the description down below. Jack, we always finish every episode up the Fozcast.
Up the Fozcast.
Up the Fozcast.
Yes, you did it. Love it. Well done, mate.
Brilliant. Thanks, everybody, for watching. We hope you enjoyed the latest episode of the Fozcast. Don't forget to give us a follow on Spotify. Up the Fozcast.